Chapter 17. The Rat Nest. Taunus snarled in fury and loosed one arrow after the next, so swiftly that his movements were a blur of silver. Hunched, verminous shapes were punched backwards, nailed to the rail, or sent hurtling over it. But still the Skaven came on. The diseased adherents of the clan's pestilence were everywhere, clinging to the rigging or scurrying across the deck, swinging enormous smoke-spewing censers. The attack had begun mere moments after the stormcast vessel had passed through the gape. True to Gatrog's word, the tunnel had been carved by the Skaven. The cavern rose above and around the river like the petals of some obscene flower. It was larger than it had appeared from the outside, as if the space within extended into some other overlapping realm of existence. Strange lights flickered from the mouths of tunnels, and Skaven, wrapped in mouldering robes, poured into view, pursuing the galley from the shore. Crooked walkways and bridges made from bone and wood stretched across the upper levels, hanging from ancient archways and crumbled walls. Skaven sign marked every surface, and nets full of steaming warpstone hung from every surface, casting an eerie green glow through the darkness. The diverted stretch of river ran through the warren, kept on course by dams and blockages of toppled stone and packed filth. Skaven ran everywhere, ringing the great bells that hung from the highest archways. Some hurled rocks, empty cauldrons and makeshift spears down on the galley as it passed below them. Worst of all was the trio of monstrous flying rat beasts which swooped low under gantries and around crumbling columns, keeping pace with the galley. Pox smoke belched from their distended maws, and greenish ichor dripped from the brands of ownership on their flanks. Crude howdahs were strapped to the beasts' backs by slime-encrusted ropes and cruel hooks embedded in their abused flesh. Whenever one drew close, the plague monks crammed onto the howdah, attempted to board the galley, or else hurled slingstones at those fighting near the rails. Adjudicator staggered as one of these stones crunched into his helmet. Skaven hurled themselves at him, crawling over him, their rusty blades seeking the joins of his armor. Taunus's arrows plucked them away, one by one, but too late. The warrior spasmed and fell, poisons leaking from every pore. Taunus looked away. Another life lost because of him. His stomach clenched, tightened and twisted. He felt as if something were reaching up inside him to clutch at his heart. He staggered. It almost cost him his own life. A blade soared at his side. He stumbled and brought his bow around like a club, smacking the Skaven aside. Before it could rise, Osphinus swooped down on it, screeching. Taunus groped for another arrow, trying to ignore the familiar, hateful whispers that echoed through his head.
To your left!
Taunus spun, driving his arrow into the throat of a Skaven as it leapt at him. Sore-covered paw scrabbled at his forearm as he twisted the arrow in the wound, killing the ratkin. An instant later, he ripped it free, knocked and loosed it in one smooth motion, killing a second. He turned.
You are having my thanks, sister.
Enyo nodded as she reached into her quiver.
You shouldn't let your attention wander during a fight, brother.
So I am being told, Taunus said.
He loosed an arrow and nailed a Skaven's tail to the deck. The plague monk shrilled in pain before Ferus's lightning hammer tore its head from its shoulders.
There are not being as many of them as I am expecting.
I think our quarry stirred them up,
Enyo said, as she sent an arrow through a censer-bearer's skull. The Skaven leapt up as if stung, and then collapsed into a heap.
With luck, they're taking a worse beating than we are.
Taunus was about to reply when he heard a ripping sound and looked up. Skaven slid down the sails, shredding them in the process. He smacked his fist into Enyo's arm and pointed. They leapt skyward, each taking a side. Arrows hummed like wasps, and Skaven fell to the deck with despairing squeals. Taunus swooped over the deck, and the heads of those stormcast bent over the oars. Morbus had filled the sails with a conjured wind, but it wasn't enough in these waters. The Lord Relictor stood in his customary place at the prow, reliquary staff planted before him. His head was bent, and Taunus felt, rather than heard, the rumble of his prayers as he tried to lend strength to the oarsman. Lightning crawled across Morbus's armor and flickered over the deck. The spectral shapes of fallen stormcasts knelt in a circle about him, their forms fading or strengthening with each passing moment. Any Skaven so foolish as to draw close to the Lord Relictor and his ghostly coterie was immediately struck by flickering strands of chain lightning. Gardas led the defense of the vessel, launching himself into battle wherever the Skaven massed. Pharos and his retributors warded the Lord Celestant, keeping the ratmen from overwhelming him. Everywhere, those judicators and liberators, not manning the oars, had formed into small phalanxes. A searing burst of celestial radiance caught Taunus's attention. He saw Karok drop down onto the howder on the back of one of the flying monstrosities, starblade flashing. Taunus banked and sped back along the length of the galley, loosing arrows as he did so. He and Ennio met near the prow and raced upwards, their wings carving shimmering trails in the miasmatic air. They split up and shot between the swooping bat creatures. Taunus rose up in front of one of the beasts and sent an arrow into each of its eyes. It gave a thunderous squeal, and its movements became panicked. A moment later, the creature slammed into a wooden bridge and hung from it. Skaven tumbled from the howder as the massive creature thrashed about. As he raced away from it, he saw Ennio land on the head of the second of the beasts and loose an arrow down into the center of its flat skull. Osphinus screeched, and Taunus saw the last creature hurtling towards him, jaws wide. He shot upwards, narrowly avoiding the snapping portcullis of teeth. The star eagle dived at the monster's eyes. Taunus swept down along its length and caught sight of Karok wreaking havoc amongst the plague monks on its back. Then the Night Venator was past and plunging downwards, back towards the glowing shape of their galley. Gatrog watched in no small amount of amusement as Skaven swarmed across the deck, chanting shrilly. They wore the corroded armor and ragged robes of one of the more militant clan's pestilens, and fought with ferocity, if little enthusiasm. The Stormcasts, in contrast, fought with a vigor he found surprising, given the circumstances. Most, seeing the odds stacked against them, would have given up by now. The cobalt fires that had protected them were dimming as their skull-faced shaman stumbled beneath the weight of the souls that clung to him like chains. Gatrog strained against his own chains, wishing that he were free. While he was at it, he wished that he had a sword and some armsmen. Taunus had left him bound to the mast, able only to move a short distance.
"Release me!" he bellowed at one of the Skaven. "I am a true knight and servant of the King of All Flies!"
The plague monk glanced in his direction. The Skaven bared broken black teeth in what might have been a smile. It sidled towards him, lifting a notched and rust-splotched blade. More plague monks joined the first, closing in on him. Gatrog realized his error a moment before the first blade jabbed at his thigh. Roaring in anger, he booted the Skaven in the head, snapping its neck. The Skaven crowded close, sensing easy prey.
"Is this how you treat your allies?"
A blade sank between the plates of his armor, drawing pungent ichor. He heaved himself to the side, shouldering the ratman away. A Skaven leapt to the mast, a blade clamped between its leprous jaws. It crawled down towards him, its eyes lit by a feverish glow. But before it could reach him, an arrow sprouted from its skull. The Skaven flopped down to the deck. The others scattered, like the cowardly vermin they were. Gatrog kicked the corpse and looked up.
"You saved me." "Torglug would not have been saving you," Taunus said as he descended. "Torglug would have been letting you die."
"A lie,"
Gatrog said. The Night Venator drew another arrow from his quiver and turned away.
"Torglug was... You are a noble warrior, a hero."
But the words sounded hollow. The woodsman had been a mighty warrior, it was true, but honorable.
"When I am being Torglug, I am being consumed with hatred," Tornus said. It is eating away at me every moment of every day. I am hating all that lives, even myself. I am even hating Nurgle, though I am fearing him as well.
Gatrog frowned.
Hate is good. It is as the rain that nourishes the soil.
Nothing of worth is growing in that soil.
Tornus loosed his arrow, and a Skaven died. He reached for another, moving without hurry. The Skaven were fleeing, hurling themselves over the rails rather than face the stormcasts. Though the plague bells still rang, the signal was one of retreat rather than attack. Gatrog hauled himself to his feet.
My home flourishes because of Nurgle's kindness. We survive only because our garden pleases him. We despaired, and in our despair, the lady came to us and showed us the truth of the world. Whose truth?
Tornus turned and held up his hand, displaying the twin-tailed comet emblazoned on his gauntlet.
This is being my truth. What is being yours?
Gatrog spat on Tornus's hand.
That!
The Rotbringer growled.
And yet, my truth is still being here, beneath yours.
Tornus scraped the spittle from the silver.
Just as I am always being beneath Torglug.
He hesitated, then,
yes, yes, I am always being within Torglug, as there is something being within you.
Whatever is in me was planted by the king of all flies.
But in what soil is he planting it?
Gatrog stared at him. He made to answer, but could find no words. He didn't remember much of his life before he'd sipped from the fly-blown chalice. It had been hard, harsh, a tempering, so that he was fit to serve. But when had he chosen to serve? Had he done so, or had his choice been made for him? Once that might have filled him with pride, but now, being here, on this vessel, burned day and night by this unrelenting radiance, he felt uncertain. And he didn't like it. There was a comforting certainty in despair. The worst had come, and he was all the stronger for it. But hope was the weed in Grandfather's garden. It always crept back when he least expected it.
Avast, ye vermin!
Gutrod's spume bellowed as rusty blades bit into his blubbery flesh. He caught one of the frothing Skaven about the throat with a tentacle and dashed the creature's brains out against the deck. His axe licked out, bisecting another ratkin in mid-leap.
I'll have safe passage, ye pestiferous brutes!
Skaven scurried everywhere across the galley, attacking his crew with maddened savagery. Others clung to his mast or the rail and banged gongs as they chittered high-pitched praises to their verminous god. They'd appeared suddenly, pouring out of the tunnels and high places that marked either side of the river, and raining themselves down on his galley with berserker glee. While the ratmen of the clan's pestilence were known to be a sight braver than their less infectious kin, this was something else again. It was almost as if something were driving them towards him. Spume flung the twitching body he held over the rail and shook his head.
Rats on a ship! What's the garden coming to? One might say the same thing about pirates,
Urslaug said from her spot on the mast. The witch seemed amused. Then she was always amused. She was starting to remember why they'd parted ways. It wasn't just the treachery. Urslaug had always seemed to be laughing at him, no matter the situation.
This is your doing, witch,
Spume said, pointing a tentacle towards Urslaug's head.
How many foes have you put on my trail?
Not so many as all that,
Urslaug said.
You did interrupt me after all.
Spume gave a guttural snarl and considered pitching Urslaug's head over the side. But that was likely what she wanted.
Silence, witch!
The Skaven warren abutted one of the immense runnels of tumor-stricken root, fossilized vegetation, and fallen trees that stretched down from the jungle into the upper levels of the hopeless city. The river that wound through the third tier split into seven branches, each one cascading down through part of the city and into the tier below. If they could reach the runnel, and swiftly, they might yet outpace their pursuers. A shout from one of his demon crewmen brought him around. Heavy shapes slunk in the black galley's wake. Crude, flat-hulled vessels, driven forward by rat-powered paddle wheels with rickety, tower-like decks, occupied by plague claw catapults or plague furnaces. Their crews numbered in the hundreds, but Skaven and plague monks in particular made for poor sailors. Their bulky scows could wallow in his wake for as long as they liked. They would never catch him. One of the catapults launched a boiling mass of filth towards the galley. Spume held up his axe and tentacles as the sludge rained down. He bellowed with laughter. Trust the Skaven to think a bit of hot sludge would be enough to stop him. Ignoring the cries of the rowers who'd been struck by the sludge, he made a turn towards the prow. A flash of silver caught his eye, and he stopped. One of the Skaven barges cracked in two with a thunderous roar. Bits of rotting wood pattered against his helmet, despite the distance. He cursed as a silvery figure darted over the surface of the water. Something blazed in its hand before spinning out and away to strike the paddle wheel of another barge, shattering it.
"Closer than barnacles," Spume snarled.
He chopped through another plague monk as the creature sought to take advantage of his distraction. His blow split the creature crown to tail. Flicking the wreckage from his axe, he turned, seeking an escape route. More barges were up ahead at the bend in the river, moving to cut him off. He had to get past them before the other shiny skins or the rest of the Skaven caught up. A whisper of sound caused Spume to whirl. A curved blade sank into his chest. A bare skull, carved with eye-searing sigils, rose above him. Twisted, curving horns rose from within a shaggy, lice-filled mane. Eyes like glowing embers met his. A second blade looped out, heading for his neck. He interposed his axe, blocking the blow.
"I was wondering if one of you would show up," Spume said.
His tentacles curled about the blade embedded in his chest.
"You're the rat Urslaug was chattering to, aye?"
The vermin lord ripped its blade free and drove a hoof into Spume's abdomen, knocking him sprawling.
"Yes, Riva fool," the demon growled. "I am Rancic, most high-favored whelp of the great corruptor, and you are dead, dead."
All was sound and fury. The clangor of weapons biting ironwood, the bone-rattling war hymns of the Root Kings as they marched into the balefires on behalf of a lie. The servants of the great conspirator had duped the Duardin into war against the servants of the King of All Flies. The black cistern glistened with the blood of the slain. Grimm stared about him in horror. The battle had been won centuries past, but the smells and sounds of it inundated his senses, overwhelming him. He felt as if he were drowning. Everything had a watery, colourless tinge to it. He clutched at his head, trying to look away as a phalanx of Blight Kings, led by Torglug the Despised, lumbered towards the reeling Duardin. Axes flashed, shields, scorched by balefire, split and shattered. A severed head struck him in the chest, its green dyed beard clotted with blood. The woodsman was magnificent that day. A hero of old, unleashed upon the enemies of all life. His axe severed the hearth trees of fourfold clans. Grimm looked up. Bubonicus stood beside him, arms crossed.
"This is your memory, isn't it? Get out of my head!"
He made to lurch towards the Chaos Knight, but found himself unable to move. He groped uselessly, willing his limbs to work. Bubonicus looked at him.
"It will soon be my head. Look."
Grimm did, and wished he hadn't. Maggots squirmed between the plates of his armor, thousands of them. He wanted to rip them off, to scrape them away,
But he remained frozen as they began to gnaw at him. He screamed.
Pain brings clarity. That is Nurgle's gift. Look, see, Lord Rotskull meets his foe upon the field. The Change Knight, Ompalios Zyros.
A bloated, horned figure, wearing a fraying tabard marked with the sigil of the fly, waded through the battle towards an iridescent shape clad in multicolored armor. The two clashed amid dying Duardin.
Once closer than brothers, now enemies. It was from Lord Rotskull that I learned of the memory of maggots. He learned it from a sage in the Grove of Blighted Lanterns. It was said that the sage himself had been taught by the lady, or one of her sisters, but I feared to ask. Some secrets are best left to molder.
The pain was worse now. Things moved within him, chewing away at all that made him him. Something rose up in his throat, and he gagged. Squirming shapes filled his mouth and pressed against the back of his eyes.
In death I bring life. In life I bring death. I am the eternal cycle manifest, and am honored to bear that burden, as you will be honored when you become me. For as you witness my memories, I too see yours. You are a warrior without peer, cruelly used by your half-god. What is a man but a collection of memories? The very things he strips from you with each blow of his hammer.
Get out of my head, Grim croaked.
His limbs twitched. The maggots squirmed in agitation. Fragments of memory flashed across the surface of his mind. Pale shadows of a life once lived, and now lost to the roar of the storm.
Why do you resist me? Your death is certain. Let it be with honor. I shall not rip you asunder and torment you as the Reaver intends. I am no savage. I am a true knight, and I shall slay thee truly, with all due respect.
Bubonicus's hollow tones were almost pleading. Grim smiled, despite the pain.
If I am torn asunder, you shall be as well.
There was no such thing as a good death, but that might be a tolerable one. Bubonicus snarled in frustration and reached for him. Grim's eyes snapped open. He smelled smoke. Heat washed down over him from somewhere above decks. In the dimness of the hold, something chittered. Skaven scurried towards him, eyes gleaming feverishly. The ratmen wore filthy robes and cowls, and what flesh was visible beneath them was lice-ridden and blotchy. They carried mattocks with hollow cores, into which shards of warpstone had been inserted. The mattocks wept an oily light that made the shadows twist and buckle.
Sisi, Storm Thing is chained, yes, yes.
One of the plague monks chittered, licking its rotting snout with a black tongue.
Helpless, yes, yes.
Has eyes full,
the other growled. One of its eyes was milky in hue and wept a white discharge. It pawed at the afflicted orb, snuffling.
Aye,
the other corrected with a snigger. For a moment, Grim thought the one with the bad eye would strike its fellow. Then it turned its attention to him with a shrill snarl.
Helpless, yes, yes,
it hissed, drawing close.
Break its limbs, drag it up, up.
It reared back, readying its mattock for a blow. The warpstone glow swept down. Chain links snapped, and Grim caught the mattock on his palm. The obscene heat of the shard scorched his gauntlet black and made blisters rise on the flesh beneath. He ignored the pain and wrenched the weapon from its wielder's paws. The Skaven fell back, bad eye twitching fit to pop.
What?
More chains burst, and Grim fell forwards. He caught the Skaven and dragged it beneath him. The vermin squealed as his weight crushed it to the deck. As it squirmed, he smashed its throat, silencing it. The remaining Skaven gave a squeal of panic and swung at him with its mattock.
He caught the blow on his forearm, and the mattock came apart like so much rotten wood. Grim rose to his feet, dragging the broken chains with him. The Skaven stared at him, snout twitching. Then it turned to flee. Grim smashed its skull with a loop of chain. He kicked the body aside and looked down at the souls trapped in the bilges. There was no hope in their eyes, nothing save the despair of broken animals on their way to the abattoir.
If you would flee, now is the time.
No. Swiftly, Grim threaded the chains through the bars.
They have found peace, Lorus. Would you steal that from them?
Gladly, Grim said, as he hauled back on the chains, exerting every bit of his remaining strength.
I would spill an ocean of my blood to spare one soul the horrors you call peace, monster.
The bars bent, buckled, burst. Grim staggered back. No soul emerged. They squatted in the filthy bilge water, uncomprehending. Grim cursed.
Up, damn you! Up! We must go! They cannot hear you, Lorus. You speak words of hope, and these blessed ones are deaf to such foolishness. Shut up!
Grim reached down. The prisoners shied away from him. They began to chant a low dirge, their voices barely audible over the noise of the battle above. It was a prayer to Nurgle. Disgusted and horrified in equal measure, he pulled back his hand and stood. He could not save those who did not wish to be saved, but even so, he could not leave them. Whatever the state of their souls, they did not deserve this.
Deserve? And who are you to judge such things, my friend? You are but a mote in the eye of a god. That you think such stubbornness will earn you anything save death is laughable. A child's bravery, matched against the will of one who was witness to the birth of stars. Run, if you would, but do not seek to steal that which has been rightfully earned.
Grim staggered as something struck the ship. Steaming sludge dripped from the deck above to plop into the bilge waters. The souls moved beneath the searing wetness, bathing in it, though it marked their flesh with burns. Repulsed, the Lord Castellan turned away towards the steps. There was nothing more he could do here.
And what will you do up there, eh? Swim to shore?
No. Grim pulled his chains taut. I intend to render this ship adrift. Warily, he climbed above decks. Skaven scurried everywhere, locked in battle with Spume's crew. Grim searched for Spume amid the confusion. He spotted the pirate trading blows with a towering Skaven vermin lord. The creature moved swiftly despite its size, but so did Spume. Wherever its curved blade slashed, his axe was there to meet them. Grim waded into the melee, broken chains swinging in a tight circle over his head. Skaven and demons alike were smashed from their feet or slapped aside by his charge. He thudded down the center line towards his captor. If he could kill Spume, even if he died in the process, he would have removed a potent threat to the mortal realms. A plague-bearer attempted to interpose itself and lashed at him with a thorn-studded whip. Grim knocked it sprawling and split its mossy skull with a slash of the chain.
Spume! He roared.
The pirate whirled, and the vermin lord embedded both of its blades in his back. Spume screamed and sank to one knee. The vermin lord planted a hoof against his head and tore its scythes free in a welter of gore. Spume toppled to the deck.
There you are,
the vermin lord hissed, pointing a blade at Grim. It bounded towards him more quickly than he could move. He lashed out with the chain, driving it back, but only momentarily. It lunged and drove its shoulder into him, knocking him from his feet. The deck cracked beneath him as he fell, and the world spun about him.
Rancic will claim your soul, storm thing, yes, yes,
the vermin lord hissed as it circled Grim. It scraped its curved blades together, forming fat sparks of green heat.
I will gnaw strip it of all secrets, yes, yes.
Grim groaned and tried to push himself to his feet. But his limbs refused to obey him. His head ached.
Surrender to me, Lorus. Surrender, and I will dispatch this beast.
No, Grim said, from between clenched teeth. A hoof slammed down on the back of his head, driving him face first into the deck.
Yes, yes,
the vermin lord growled, resting its full weight on the back of his head.
Take you back, strip you to the bone, learn your secrets.
Let me do this, fool, or we both die, Bubonicus said.
Grim didn't have the breath to answer, nor the strength to resist the claws of pain tearing at his muscles. Despite his best efforts, he couldn't muster the strength to throw the demon off him.
If anyone is going to peel the meat from his bones, it's going to be me.
The vermin lord turned, and the haft of Spume's axe cracked into its fleshless muzzle. The demon stumbled back, narrowly avoiding a blow that would have sliced it in half. The two faced each other over Grim's crumpled form.
He looked to be a smart rat, Spume said, aiming the bite of his axe at the vermin lord's shaggy throat. So I make ye and your scabrous brood an offer.
Blood dripped from his bulky form, but the wounds in his back were already healing.
An offer?
Rancic grunted.
You want these shiny skins, aye?
Spume motioned to Grim with a tentacle.
Well, there's a whole galley of them coming fast in our wake.
No,
Grim croaked, trying to get up. Spume slammed the ferrule of his axe into the back of Grim's head, flattening him. Black spots danced before Grim's eyes as the world faded to a dull roar.
Hush,
Spume said.
You can keep fighting me, or have a bigger prize all to yourself, Rancic. What's it going to be?
Spume's kraken snapped its beak, and his tentacles intertwined in agitation. He lifted his axe.
Best hurry now. I'm not known for my patience.